Each year on the second Sunday of Lent, we get an account of this mystery of the transfiguration of Jesus. Jesus gives the apostles this special gift at a very important time in his ministry, just as we in Lent know that ultimately we are on a journey that will lead us to Good Friday and on through Easter. So Jesus knew that at this point in his public ministry, his time of teaching was coming to an end, and he had set his face towards Jerusalem. There he knew that he was going to lay down his life. But before he did so, he wanted to give his apostles this special gift of the Transfiguration, just for a moment. The veil, as it were, is pulled back, and Peter, James, and John are able to behold Jesus as God. They're able to see his divinity, to see him transfigured. And if that's not enough, imagine the awesomeness of having Moses and Elijah then show up. The summation of the law and the prophets bearing witness that, yes, Jesus is God. It would have been the most amazing moment in their lives to that point. It's no coincidence that this event takes place on a mountain. Theologically, in Scripture, that's where you go to encounter God. You go up on the mountain. But it's also a place that's away. It's apart. You kind of go up to get some perspective, to be able to see everything right. And there they see Jesus rightly. They see him as God. And this vision on this mountain is given for a specific purpose. It's not that Jesus just leads them up there to show them the transfiguration and then that's it. Rather, this event on the mountain is meant to strengthen them, strengthen their surety, strengthen their faith, that they could say on that day, as they behold Jesus and his glory, he is God. We know it. There is no doubt. Moses and Elijah are here. They even bear witness Jesus is God. That surety would become all the more important when in just a few weeks, on another mountain, on Mount Calvary, they will see Jesus not in glory, but rather Jesus hanging on the cross. Faced with the events of that mountain, we can imagine that they would be tempted to despair, to lose their faith. Certainly their faith was shaken as they behold Jesus on the cross. No doubt many of them thought, maybe we were wrong. Maybe he wasn't really God. Maybe he wasn't who we thought he was. There would be great temptation, I think, towards doubt on Good Friday. So to kind of preemptively inoculate them against that doubt, Jesus gives them this event on Mount Tabor, the Transfiguration, so that when they're tempted to doubt as they see Jesus hanging on the cross, they could look back and say, no, I remember the surety I had on Mount Tabor, the Mount of the Transfiguration. I saw it with my own eyes. I know he's God. All of us in our lives need those kind of moments where we have that dramatic encounter with God, that we feel our faith strengthened, that we could say with Peter, James, and John, Lord, it is good that we are here. Sometimes we'll refer to those moments in our life as mountaintop experiences. It seems like we're on a mountain. Jesus seems so close. We wonder how we could ever doubt our faith. We have these amazing prayer experiences, and we know God is real. In our lives, too, God gives us those for a reason, certainly to draw us closer, deeper into his love, but also to remind us that we will not always be on the mountain, that our lives, too, eventually come down from the mountain. We will be, probably one day, maybe soon, in the valley. And the valley is the opposite of a mountain. When we're in the valley, it seems like God is far, that nothing is going right. We have no perspective. All we see around us are huge hills, and we can't find the way. God gives us those beautiful experiences of the surety of his love, so that when we are in the valley, when we go through our own Good Friday, we too will not doubt. How many times I've seen people struggle and even give up the faith in the valley. They think, where is God? How could God allow this to happen? Does God love me? Is there even a God? The valley is a dreaded experience that we pray every day in the Our Father. Lead us not into that kind of temptation. But notice Jesus too gives us the inoculation. He gives us those moments that we could call in our own lives maybe transfiguration moments. And they're different for all of us, but they're important. I remember when I was discerning becoming a priest, there was that moment, I remember it well, it was in St. Peter's Square. I was walking with my spiritual director and we were talking. And I remember when the surety came that I knew I was supposed to go to seminary. And at that moment, I could have said, now I know what I'm supposed to do. But it was only a few months later when I got to seminary, and it lasted for maybe a couple years, when I couldn't find that moment anymore. Like, what am I doing? Maybe I'm not doing the right thing. I don't think I'm supposed to be here. But I could look back to that moment of clarity and surety and say, no, then I knew what I was supposed to do and I need to keep doing it. It's those transfiguration moments that get us through the valley. Because the truth is, most of our life is not lived on top of the mountain or in the valley. Most of our life is somewhere in between. And the key to the spiritual life is not to know necessarily how to live on the level times, but what do we do when we're on the mountain, and especially, what do we do when we're in the valley? Jesus gives us clearly in the gospel the answer. When we're on the mountain, we need to be thankful. With Peter to say, it is good that we are here. Thank you, God. What a blessing, the way that I feel now, the way I know you. Thank you. But then we also need to prepare, because we know that, like Peter, James, and John, we're going to have to come down the mountain. I encourage you, store up those transfiguration moments. When you're on top, say, I know I will not always be here. Help me, God, to remember this, to retain this surety, this faith that I have. Then when we find ourselves in the valley, perhaps it will not seem so deep. Then when we're in the valley, we can say, wait, I know where I'm at. I'm in the valley. These things happen in life, but I know that I will not always be in the valley. I know that probably sooner than I think, there will be another mountaintop. And that's the way life goes. Peaks and valleys, how we manage them makes all the difference in our spiritual life. Leave you with a couple maybe practical things that I draw out of this gospel to help us in our spiritual life, especially during Lent. Notice that this whole event takes place on a mountain. I've been to this mountain. Mount Tabor rises from the plains of Galilee. It could almost be a kind of a stumpy volcano, because it's just this big mountain that comes straight up out of the plains, and it looks pretty high. In fact, to get up this mountain, you can't even drive a tour bus or a car. You have to take the special Mercedes engine taxis that they have, because that's the only thing that can make it up this mountain. It's not easy to get to that mountain. It takes effort. We all want the experience. We want to have that beautiful experience of God. But are we willing to do the work? Yes, it's a gift, but we have our part to play. Notice that Jesus says, let's come up this mountain, though. You know, this is the weekend where we start to make our appeals for the Christ Renews His Parish retreats that are coming up in April. Sometimes, even the apostles needed for Jesus to take them away. You know, if I were the apostles, I would have been thinking, looking at the mountain, Jesus, couldn't we just do this down here? I mean, this is pretty good. Looks like it'd take a long time to get up there, and there's really nothing up there, Jesus. Would Peter, James, and John have known what was going to happen? I don't think so. But yet Jesus knew. There is a beautiful opportunity coming up for the Christ Renews His Parish retreats. You know, priests are required to make a retreat every year. I just got back from mine a month ago. We need to sometimes get away if we want those mountaintop experiences. to put in a little extra effort to get out of our comfort zone. Certainly that's what happened with Peter, James, and John. Now, we split our retreats into men's and women's retreats. I think that's for a good reason, because women sometimes are a little more open to these things. If they saw Jesus head up Mount Tabor, like, the women would have been, oh, look, Jesus is going up the mountain. I think I'll follow him. And that's wonderful. The men would be more like, Jesus, get back here. We've got the cooler down here. It's awesome. Let's just stay. Sometimes men need a little special invitation. So men, consider yourself specially invited to make this retreat, to put in that little extra effort to come away, because it's then when we get up on that mountain we can have some perspective. But also notice the hard work that's involved. If you're going to go up a mountain, you've got to leave a lot of junk behind. I know this from Boy Scouts. The highest mountain at Philmont Scout Ranch, there are two ways you can go up that mountain. One is to come from Camp Baldy and carry your entire backpack to the top of the mountain and keep going on your trek down the other side. The other is to hike up the other side, camp at Copper Park, leave your big, huge pack, take a little tiny pack with a little water bottle, hike up to the top, enjoy it, come back down and go to sleep in your camp back in Copper Park. I suggest the second, and that's probably an important lesson. When we go up the mountain, it forces us to leave a whole bunch of baggage behind. A retreat can be an experience like that too, to leave a lot of junk behind so that we can take what's really important to God. And finally, we just have to see that sometimes we need some friends to make this experience with. Peter, James, and John probably drew closer because of this experience. They went off, they shared it with others. We know about it today because it changed their lives so much that they told us about it. I pray that many people might make these Christ Renews retreats. There are people all over throughout the church today wearing little white stickers that say, "Ask me about Christ Renews," because they've made this retreat. They've had the mountaintop experience, and now they want to share it. And if you ask them, probably most of them had to be prodded a little bit to get on the retreat, but now they wouldn't give it up for anything. This is what Jesus holds out for us this Lent: a chance to prepare for the valley, to prepare for the cross on Good Friday. Let's do the best we can to use the tools, the weapons we've got, to get away, to make time for some silence, to do the hard work, to prepare ourselves for that encounter with God, to leave behind the baggage that we need to. If we do that, God has an amazing gift waiting for us. It's going to be different for each of us, but if we do our part, God will do his part. We will be up on the mountain, and there we will encounter God, an experience we will never forget, experience we must remember, and an experience we must then go share.